Segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We'll shift gears here and talk in a different subject range. We'll finish up with biochar here and move on to fracking. Somebody figured out that you can force water and other items into wells to crack the rock far underground. In some cases, the cracks then release more water. In other cases, what comes out is oil or natural gas. Hydraulic fracturing, in other words, fracking. There are many concerns about the process when it is used to bring out petroleum products. Our next guest is a city council member in Lafayette, Colorado. The council is on record opposing fracking in city limits. Marilee Mazza is visiting Western Oregon at the moment. She spoke in Medford last night, speaks in North Bend tonight, and Eugene tomorrow. Marilee Mazza, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Well, thank you very much for having me here. Beautiful area. I've never been to Oregon before.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Congratulations on your first visit. So talk about Lafayette, Colorado, where it is and how much fracking activity there is in that part of Colorado.
Lafayette, Colorado is about 9-10 miles east of Boulder. If you know where Boulder is, University of Colorado campus is there.
Generally north of Denver.
And we're about 20 miles north of Denver. It's an old mining town at one time. That whole area was full of coal and coal mines, and now it's pretty much a suburb of Boulder and Denver. A lot of growth in Colorado, a lot of people moving into the state. I moved into the state 6 years ago from Chicago when I retired, so I'm a newcomer as well, and a complete carpetbagger, apparently, because I ran for office a year after I moved there and actually won, so there you are.
Did you think you were going to kick back and take it easy and not do things like run for city council in your new town?
I actually did. My plan was, you know, I retired, I worked for years. I spent my entire life in Chicago. My son and grandchildren moved to Colorado, so I thought the weather's better. Chicago's terrible. And I'll travel and I play golf, and this will be wonderful after all these years. And then I get enmeshed in this whole fracking issue, starting in a neighboring community right next to Lafayette called Erie, Colorado. And there was a group called Erie Rising, and it was a group of mothers who lived in the community, and there was a giant fracking well being built right next to a school. And so my son said to me, let's go to one of these meetings and see what this is all about. I mean, we're all from Chicago. We don't know anything. And so we went to the meeting and talked to these mothers, and that was the start down the slippery slope. That was it.
Lit the fire under you then, huh?
Yes, exactly. And watching this unfold in the neighboring community, it's just horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. So that's how I got involved.
What is it that horrifies you the most? I mean, what's your major concern about fracking?
Well, there's a climate change issue with this as well. In the area where they're drilling, where we are, in that area that called the Front Range of Colorado, or where we are north of Denver, this is not just gas. It's also oil as well. In fact, one of the companies makes four times as much revenue from oil from these wells as from gas. So there's a climate change issue with this. The other thing is these wells are being put next to homes, next to houses, and communities are told there's nothing you can do. It's a state issue. The state preempts local governments, and so basically suck it up and live with this. And that's what the communities are facing in the area that I'm in.
And that did not appeal to you as a person in the city of Lafayette?
No, it did not appeal to me. In fact, I worked back in 2013, I worked on a ballot initiative in Lafayette, and we did a community rights ballot initiative that said we have the right to local community self-government, we have the right to clean air and clean water, we have the right to be free from chemical trespass, and we ban fracking within city limits as a violation of that right. And that we asked our city council to put it on the ballot. They would not do it. We asked the city council to pass it themselves. They would not do it. And so we had to do a citizen petition initiative, which we did. And we got it on the ballot. We had some problems with the Colorado Oil and Gas Association protesting. They were not successful. It got on the ballot in Lafayette, and, of course, it passed. And
Is that the climate bill of rights and protections?
No, this is what was called the community bill of rights. Okay. And this was an amendment to our charter. Lafayette in Colorado, you can be a home rule city or a statutory city. We are home rule. We have our own little charter. It amended our charter. And it was the only community bill of rights in Colorado. Other communities passed fracking bans or, you know, nibbled around the edges of this, doing a moratorium. Lafayette, we went full tilt. We said, this is actually a rights issue. So we passed that in 2013, and the city was immediately sued by the Colorado Oil and Gas Association.
So. To what effect? I mean, or has the suit been resolved?
The suit was resolved very quickly. There were several communities that passed sort of bans. Several of them did moratoriums. Okay, which the industry considers a ban. Another community did a ban on the technique of hydraulic fracturing, basically saying, well, you can drill, but you have to drill vertically in the city limits. You can't drill. You can't use this technique. And so all of them were sued. Almost all of these cities were sued. And the defense in terms of what our city did in a defense and what the other cities did is they played it. Well, we say they took a legal nosedive. The city defense was based totally on state preemption. The rights issue never came up in our case. Our local group who had sponsored this ballot initiative called East Boulder County United, we applied to be interveners in the case because we wanted to bring up the rights issue legally. And interestingly enough, in this very progressive area where I live in Boulder County, Colorado, our city council joined with the Colorado Oil and Gas Association to prevent us from becoming interveners in that case.
I'm guessing that's the day you decided to run for city council.
Actually, I ran while we were doing the ballot initiative, so I did it full tilt, and I won the city council seat at that time. The city council in a very progressive community, and Boulder County is a very progressive area of Colorado, I still can't get over this. They joined with the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, prevented us from being an intervener in the case. The rights issue never came up. All the communities did a legal nosedive and took this on strictly as a state preemption issue, which was great for the industry, and they all lost. Couple of the communities took this to the Colorado Supreme Court. Our community would not appeal the decision. They were happy to be out from under it, I guess. And the Colorado Supreme Court, again, ruled on the basis of state preemption, not on the basis of the fact that we have a right to legislate as human beings. We have a right to legislate in the Colorado Constitution. That never came up.
So the essence of it is that if the state says you can do this, no matter what the local jurisdiction
says.
That's
correct. Right, right. We have total control. And Colorado, for all its reputation as being very green and very environmental, and there's a lot of talk about that, we're going to be renewable by 2040, all that kind of stuff, is basically owned by the oil and gas industry, the state legislature.
Mary Lee Mazza is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a member of the Colorado, the city council in Lafayette, Colorado. You can join the conversation here in the exchange as she talks about what they've done to try to ban fracking in town and obviously some fits and starts along the way. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. There is no fracking in the city of Lafayette yet, is that right?
We have, there are actually, I believe, 24 wells. I think 13 of them are plugged and abandoned, and the rest are producing. Now, they're old ones. They were drilled in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So that tells you we are, it's not hard to understand, we're on the shale formation. Mm-hmm. The eastern part of our city is on the shale formation. The industry has been very hesitant to move into Boulder County because it's a huge progressive bastion, and it's a problem.
Well, the University of Colorado right there in Boulder.
That's
tends to make a community a little liberal, doesn't it?
It does, although I have my own feelings about this and how well the progressives, or at least the people who call themselves progressives, have dealt with this issue. A driller recently just filed a spacing plan, and that spacing plan says basically we have dibs or mineral rights in this area. We're planning to drill here. We don't know where we're going to put our well pads yet, but eventually we'll make that decision. And that area they applied for encompasses the city of Lafayette. So we have old wells that are producing that are old vertical wells, one of which, by the way, exploded apparently in the 90s and killed a worker, but everybody has forgotten that. And now we have a driller who's actually making plans to drill either inside the city limits or just outside the city limits of Lafayette. So the drillers are moving into Boulder County. Part of the eastern section of the county is on the shale formation, and so that's what's happening now.
And how hopeful are you that ultimately the city can say no, based on what you've seen so far, both legislatively and judicially?
You know, it's going to take a citizen movement. It's going to take people coming to meetings. It's going to take people doing direct action. I mean, we're at that point now. That's all that's left for this kind of a movement, is to take on direct action, to insist that councils and shut down council meetings and say, this is what we're going to have to do. Because the oil and gas industry and, excuse me, the progressives in this area think, now they're telling people, well, we can regulate it. We'll regulate the industry. And we can do what's called, I call in air quotes, safely regulated fracking. There is no such thing.
Well, that raises a question, because the two things you generally hear in response to the kinds of actions you have taken are that people still use fossil fuels, so we have to go after them, one. And two, that we can get the stuff out of the ground safely. And you're saying, Nick's on the second one.
No, you cannot get it out safely. And, of course, there's a lot of, I don't know if you knew this, but a year ago a house actually blew up about 20 miles from where I live because there was an old well or flow line there that was apparently turned on. The gas was flowing into the ground. It flew, and the homeowner and his brother-in-law were replacing a hot water heater, and the whole house blew up and killed both of them. So the idea that this is regulated, this industry is self-regulated in Colorado, and so that's what we end up with. The idea of people breathing toxins, and it's a horrifying situation that you're told you actually have no control over. So, no, I don't think that's going to work. The idea that, yes, we all drive cars. Well, I'm sorry, that's the way the economy runs. I'd be happy to take a train, but we don't have one. When people say that to me, I say, well, interestingly enough, you breathe air, don't you? You live on the same planet the rest of us live on. So basically, we're all on this ship together, and we've got to figure this out.
How divisive an issue has this been just for the town of Lafayette?
It's incredibly divisive, and including in very progressive communities and some other communities where you have, you know, a lot of oil and gas supporters, it's controversial there as well. But even in progressive towns like ours, you hear people say, there's nothing you can do. We've heard city councilors say that. Well, there's nothing you can do. This is the best we can get. This is the best deal we can get. The state has all – you have to obey the law. Well, I said, well, if that were true, they'll say the state Supreme Court ruled. I said, well, so did the federal Supreme Court rule at one time. And if we believe that is the be-all and end-all, we'd still be returning runaway slaves. So we got to step beyond that. And by the way, I'm going to equate Colorado, what's going on in Colorado, with what's happening here with the pipeline.
I was going to ask you about Jordan Cove. Okay, I kind of figured that was part of the reason you were here, because there are two things going on in Oregon, the Jordan Cove gas terminal proposal and the pipeline running to it as proposed. Mm-hmm. And also, Oregon is a state where there have been efforts to exercise community rights as well.
Yes, yes. Well, a lot of this pipeline and a lot of this liquid natural gas terminal is being touted by our Democratic senator in Colorado, Michael Bennett. We have him on video talking to the Western Colorado Oil and Gas Association about this a great deal. It's a market for the gas coming out of the Western Colorado. Now, I'm on the eastern part of the
continent. And he needs to win votes in Grand Junction as well as in Boulder County.
Oh, absolutely. And so, yeah, that's a big push. And they're pushing it very hard because, again, it's a market. And, you know, the question is, who do you represent? And we're finding that these people represent business interests, the 1%, that's who they're representing. They're not representing the people in the communities whose houses are exploding. So, yes, that's it. It's a market for Colorado gas, and it's going to come right through your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And who are you talking to in North Bend and Eugene tonight and tomorrow?
Who are we talking to? I don't remember. You have the schedule.
a friend is here.
Yeah.
There's a group that's worked on the pipeline issue last year, mm-hmm. that had a ballot measure called Coos Commons Protection Council, and they mm-hmm. put up a ballot measure last year to try to stop the pipeline and terminal. And the Jordan Cove interest came in and spent $1 million to kill that ballot mm-hmm. measure last May. But people there are still fighting to stop the project. And in Eugene, folks have been working there on a different issue related to pesticides, but also in that community rights frame. And mm-hmm. they've been running into their own elected officials who've been doing what Mara Lee is talking about, which is, hey, we can't do anything about it. This is a state issue. You know, don't bother us. Mm-hmm. And the people are saying, well, you should be bothered by it because we're bothered by it and you represent us, not mm-hmm. the chemical industry. And so, you know, whatever the issue is, there's the understanding that if we don't stand up and start pushing back and our elected officials doing our bidding for us, well, we're going to keep getting the very things that we don't want. Mm-hmm. And so I think it'll be good for folks in North Bend to hear Merrily and those in Eugene mm-hmm. from some different vantage points. But yeah, eventually we'll all have to come together regardless of the issue.
And tell folks your name before we go.
Yeah, I'm Kai Hushka. I'm the Northwest organizer for the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund. Also been doing coordinating work and support work for the Oregon Community Rights Network and working with the groups here in the state for the last 5 or 6 years to really push this idea of community control, local control, self-determination, and really putting corporations in their place, which is underneath the community, not above it.
All right. Thank you for coming back to The Exchange. Merrily Mazza, thank you for joining us on The Exchange. Good to have you both here.
Thank you.